Well, good morning, everyone. What a beautiful week we enjoyed, huh? After the rain a couple weeks ago. I mean, last week was so beautiful, and they're promising more this week. I say, keep it coming, Lord. Keep it coming, because we in Minnesota, we know what's just over the horizon, right? So we're going to enjoy these days while we can. I know some of the kids have had a blessed weekend, having a couple days off of school for MEA weekend, and Colleen and I took three of our grandkids, actually, up to a water park in Brainerd, Baxter area. So if I appear to be, you know, kind of limping a little bit, a little stiff and sore, you'll understand why when you're running with a 10-year-old, a 9-year-old, and a 7-year-old, you know, grandpa's got to keep up. And it was great. It was just great. Well, welcome to part 3 of our series this morning called Who is Jesus? And I'm so excited because today we're going to look at the third of these 7 I am statements as recorded in the Gospel of John. And you remember that to answer this question, who is Jesus, we're going right to the source. We're going right to the statements that Jesus made about himself. And as I've said, these were the statements that really got him in trouble because they represent direct claims to be the Son of God and the Savior of the world. Now, our key scripture today is found in John chapter 10, verse 11. Let's read it together. You see it there on the screen. Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Let's read it one more time and begin to really think about the personal nature of this particular I am statement. Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. You know, I was thinking that maybe to make things, you know, just a little more engaging this morning, I would dig out my old Lutheran robes. They're kind of shepherd-like, right? And I would find one of those shepherd staffs here in the closet somewhere that we use for our Christmas pageants. And maybe I would call a farmer and see if I could borrow a lamb for the morning. You know, that would help illustrate this good shepherd thing. But the more I thought about it, it just seemed like kind of a bad idea. So I decided not to do that. But you like stories, right? So I've got a story for you. There was a shepherd, and he was watching over his flock on a beautiful, pristine country hillside. And all of a sudden, a red Porsche screeched to a stop on the country road that was just there at the bottom of this hill. And out of this red Porsche gets this young guy who is just dressed to a T. I mean, he was obviously a city guy because he had on a perfectly pressed Armani suit and a crisp white shirt and a designer tie. And he looked up the hill and he said, Shepherd! Hey, Shepherd! If I can tell you how many sheep you have in your flock, can I have one of them? And the shepherd looked back down the hillside, kind of shocked. The sheep had looked up and, you know, wondered what was happening. And the shepherd sort of stuttered and stumbled with his words, but he said, well, I guess so. And so this young man went back into the Porsche, and he got out his laptop. And he opened it up, and it looked like he was connecting with some kind of a satellite program because in just a little while, he started scanning that field full of sheep. And in less than a minute, he shouted back up to the shepherd, Shepherd, I can tell you, you have exactly 473 sheep in your flock. The shepherd said, well, that's just amazing. And then the young man said, so can I have my sheep? And the shepherd said, yep, a deal's a deal. So that young man took one of those fluffy, snuggly little animals and put it in the back of his Porsche. Now, there isn't a lot of room in the back seat of a Porsche, you know. But just as he was about to get in his car and drive away, the shepherd shouted back down the hill, hey, mister, if I can tell you what you do for a job, can I have my animal back? And the young guy said, well, sure, a deal's a deal. Fair's fair. So the shepherd thought for a moment and he said, I'm guessing that you are a business consultant. The shepherd said, well, I mean, the young man said, well, how did you know that? He said, well, First of all, you came here and you weren't invited. Secondly, you told me something I already know. Thirdly, you charged me a fee for something you didn't do. And fourthly, you don't know anything about my business. And he said, by the way, can I please have my dog back? You see, you might think that being a shepherd is a simple task, but it isn't. Looking after sheep is actually a highly specialized job. It's just like looking after God's children. No wonder that Jesus chose the phrase good shepherd to describe himself. Here's the rest of the text, the larger text that surrounds our key verse of the day. I'd like you to read it with me. In John 10, 11 through 21, Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life, only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. This command I received from my Father. The Jews who heard these words were again divided. Many of them said, He is demon-possessed and raving mad. Why listen to him? But others said, These are not the sayings of a man possessed by a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind? Well, there it is again, people. Do you see how these I am statements had a way of stirring things up? You recall earlier Jesus had said, I am the bread of life. And then he had said, I am the way and the truth and the life. And today he says, I am the good shepherd. Now, describing himself as a good shepherd was once again a direct connect with the Old Testament. In this case, Psalm 23, the Good Shepherd Psalm. Do you remember? King David had famously written, The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. You catch that? The Lord is my shepherd. For Jesus to call himself the Good Shepherd was in effect to say, I am the one. I am the Lord. In the flesh. And not only that, but as you heard, he continued, The Father knows me, and I know the Father. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life. You see, to call the creator of the whole world his dad was either the truth or it was blasphemy. Blasphemy means to declare that you're God, but to do so as a liar. As a false prophet, Jesus was declaring these things to be true. And this was so disconcerting to some of those religious leaders that, as you heard, they blurted out, He is demon-possessed and raving mad. Well, perhaps Jesus would like each of us to get riled up just enough this morning that we would be willing to consider that question once again. Was Jesus a lunatic, a liar, or the Lord? Now, how does this image of a good shepherd help us in a very practical way paint a more precise picture of who Jesus is and what he promises to be for us today? I'm going to suggest three things this morning, and you'll find an outline there in your program. The first is this: a good shepherd is willing to die for his sheep. Would you say that with me? A good shepherd is willing to die for his sheep. You heard it already. In John 10, verse 11, Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd does what? Lays down his life for his sheep. You see, depending on what part of the world you live in, shepherds face constant threats from wolves and mountain lions and bears and other wild animals, not to mention robbers and thieves. When young David, the one who would someday be King David, was auditioning for the job of going to fight that giant of a man called Goliath, he stated his credentials as a shepherd. Do you remember? 1 Samuel 17, 34 to 36. David was just a young teen, and he stood before King Saul, and this was his argument. He said, "Your servant has been keeping his father's sheep. When a lion or a bear came and carried off a sheep from the flock, I went after it, struck it, and rescued it from its mouth. When it turned on me, I seized it by its hair and killed it. Your servant has killed both the lion and the bear. This uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, because he has defied the armies of the living God." How's that for confidence from a young teenager, everybody? Jesus, who is our good shepherd, stood up to the greatest giants that we face in our lives. Sin, sickness, doubts, fear, and even death itself. He defeated them, not with might nor power, though he possessed both, but with the sacrifice of his own life. A good shepherd is willing to die for his sheep. You are the sheep. Jesus is the shepherd, and he gave his life for you. Another threat to a flock of sheep that we learn about in our text is that that happens when a hired hand takes over for a real shepherd. The scripture passage makes it clear. A hired hand doesn't love the sheep. When he sees a wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs, and some sheep are lost, and the whole flock is scattered. When you think about it, this counter image of a hired hand as compared to the good shepherd is representative of so many dishonest and fraudulent people and activities that go on in the world today. I mean, every time our cell phone rings and we see a strange number, we are prone to wonder who's trying to fleece me out of something now. According to the calls I've received, there are warrants for my arrest and the authorities should be showing up at my door any minute, unless I call and give them my credit card number, right? There are far too many hired hands in politics, business, and even in the church who claim to care about your interests but are just out to make a buck or advance their own agendas. It's hard to know who you can trust anymore. Jesus warned us. In John 10, verse 10, he said, "The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that you may have life and have it abundantly." Now that's what I call a reality check. The thieves that Jesus warns us about are not just the malicious people in this world, but the devil himself who is behind them. So you see, this good shepherd imagery this morning presents the total opposite picture of that hired hand. When Jesus said, "I am the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep," he was pointing to the most important quality of a shepherd, which is self-sacrifice. Jesus demonstrated this quality by taking his love for us all the way to the cross. And wouldn't we say, people, that self-sacrifice is also the most important quality of a good husband or wife, a good father or mother, a good teacher or pastor, a good coach or mentor? It's at the heart of what genuine love is all about. Over time, it's easy to see if somebody really loves you by whether or not they're willing to put your needs ahead of their own. Jesus did that for us. He is our good shepherd. Second, this I am statement reminds us that a good shepherd cares for his sheep. Would you say that with me? A good shepherd cares for his sheep. A hired hand cares nothing. Jesus cares everything. Friends, to have a good shepherd in your life means that you are never alone. Jesus is with you. He is for you. He is watching over you. That's what a shepherd does for his sheep. He leads them and guides them along paths that lead to health and life. That's what Jesus wants for you. Psalm 23 captures it so beautifully. Let's read together this psalm and internalize the fact that these are Jesus' promises to each of us who will receive them, our good shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for His name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely Your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Beautiful. Just beautiful. We see that a good shepherd cares. A good shepherd feeds. A good shepherd protects. A good shepherd leads his sheep to life. And this is exactly what our good shepherd Jesus does for us, his sheep. Let me ask you, what cares are weighing you down today? What needs are most pressing in your life right now? As I talk and meet with people every day, I find that there are generally three or four categories into which cares fall. I'm talking about the cares of life. First, we all care about our physical needs, right? We have to. Man, if you're without food and shelter and clothing, the basic necessities of life, you are in crisis mode. That's why we support ministries like Great River Family Promise, where we help out with those who are temporarily homeless. Most of us have these basic needs met, but we're always working hard to pay our bills, to fulfill our commitments, to keep our heads above water. It's said that today people are just one or two paychecks away from disaster, financial disaster, and that can be very stressful. A second major category of our cares is what we can call relational needs. We were built for relationships. And isn't it true, when something isn't going right in our marriages or with our children, it's extremely stressful. Marriages have never been under more pressure than they are today. And this is why we're going to devote a special sermon series during the month of February to supporting and encouraging marriages. I'm looking forward to that. But relationship needs and challenges also involve our extended families, our personal friendships, and certainly our working relationships. After all, many of us spend a large percentage of our time in the workplace. If that stat is true that only 30% of the people in the world really love their job, I wonder how much that has to do with whether the relationships there are found to be supportive and encouraging. A third major category of our cares is emotional needs. What I'm talking about here is how we feel about ourselves and the lives we're living. Do you feel loved? Do you feel valued? Are your emotional needs being met by others in healthy ways? This care has to do specifically with whether or not we feel cared for. You can have a lot of good things going on in your life, but if you don't feel loved and cared for by somebody, none of the rest of it really seems to matter. And then I'll add one more category of cares, which is spiritual needs. But I might surprise you here, because this category is about more than just knowing some things about Jesus. This category is about ultimate things. It's about discovering your purpose in life. This is about knowing that you know that you know in your heart of hearts that you're loved by the One who made you, that you're forgiven, that you already have the promise of eternal life. And so every day is lived as a way of saying, thank you, Jesus, for paying it all. Thank you for what you did for me. Now I'm going to serve you with my whole life. That's when getting out of bed in the morning becomes a fun thing to do. So these are the kind of cares that Jesus, our shepherd, our good shepherd, really cares about. Our physical, relational, emotional, and spiritual needs. Friends, if you're struggling in any one of these areas this morning, and I suspect we all are, Jesus says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." Matthew 11:28. The Apostle Peter, remember him, the bold one, the leading disciple, the one who was always out front with the first statement, the first response. Peter, who had known a lot of ups and downs in his life, a lot of successes and failures, he put it this way in 1 Peter 5:7. He said, "Cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you." Dear people, through this I Am statement today, I hope that you will hear Jesus' personal offer to be your good shepherd and experience a greater measure of God's love and care for you in relationship to all your needs. And then third, a good shepherd knows his sheep. Repeat that, please. A good shepherd knows his sheep. I love this one. John 10:14. Jesus says, "I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me." That's a personal relationship, isn't it? So many people in our world today see God as, you know, at the worst, as a giant policeman in the sky, just watching and waiting for us to do something bad so that he can come down on us. Or maybe at best they see God as some white-haired, long-bearded old man who doesn't have much interest or energy left for me. When Jesus said, "I am the good shepherd," he changed the paradigm. He personalized it. Jesus declared through these words that he is a Savior who loves us and cares for us and is totally engaged with us at a personal level, just as is a shepherd with his sheep. Listen to this. Earlier in our chapter, in John 10, verses 3 and 4, Jesus had described a shepherd leading his sheep in and out of what they called a sheep pen. Now, this might have just been a natural pen created by rocks and mountains, for example, but a place where the sheep could be kept at night. And as a matter of fact, the shepherd would often become the door to that sheep pen himself, another image of laying down his life for the sheep. But in these verses, it says, "The gatekeeper opens the gate for them," read it with me, "and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him." Why? Because they know his voice. Now, there are two things here that I really want you to get, because they really personalize Jesus, your good shepherd. Listen up. First, he knows you by name. Second, he knows your voice, and you are to know his. Now, I'm a sports guy, and so I love this illustration. I've shared it before. Coach Mike Krzyzewski, Coach K, head of the Duke Blue Devils basketball program, with his teams has won 5 NCAA championships, as well as in these past years leading several of our Olympic teams to gold medals. He never uses a whistle. Can you imagine a basketball coach who never uses a whistle? When he was asked why, he said, "I want my kids to learn to hear and respond to my voice. When we're playing before thousands of screaming fans, I want them to be able to know and respond to my voice above all the noise." Isn't that good? You see, when the world screams at us, Jesus, our good shepherd, wants us to know his voice and hear it above all the others. And when we're in trouble, he hears us and comes to the rescue. This week we had both a new member class and a baptism class here at Christ Church. And as I was preparing this message, thinking about receiving some new members as we did at the 9 o'clock service this morning, I hearkened back to a time when we were down on the other end of the building in the old days. And the nursery was there, basically where the preschool offices are now. And we were meeting in what is our preschool room now with some new members. And it happened that that night there were about 8 babies in the nursery. And so I'm teaching the new member class, and all of a sudden, one of those babies just started to cry at the top of his lungs. And we all acted like, you know, we were going to ignore it for a few moments and just keep going, until all of a sudden, one of the mothers around the table stood up and said, "That one's mine. I'll be back in a minute." And we all chuckled because we realized that that mother knew her baby's cry. And I suspect that every one of the mothers around that table would have responded in the same way. And I want you to understand today that Jesus knows your voice. He knows your cry. And when you're in trouble, He's coming for you. That's what a good shepherd does. He knows His sheep. God knows you inside and out, and He still loves you to pieces. What an amazing thought. The psalmist, King David again in Psalm 139, was reflecting on it this way. He said, "God, you know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you, Lord, know it completely." Now, to a theologian, these words refer to God's omniscience, that He's all-knowing. But to those of us who are sheep, this illustrates that our good shepherd desires to have a personal, intimate relationship with us. For us to have that relationship, we have to grow in our ability to communicate, both with our voice and as we listen for the voice of God. Amen? A marriage counselor was describing the importance of good communication to some couples one day, and he was telling them how, you know, it was really important that they learn to understand each other's needs and the things that are special that, you know, each person holds dear. And he turned to the husbands and he said, "Men, I'm going to start with you. Do you know what your wife's favorite flower is?" And one man leaned over to his wife and he whispered, "Honey, I think it's Pillsbury all-purpose, isn't it?" We all need to improve in our communication skills. And this text this morning, this Good Shepherd text, gives us a wonderful opportunity to begin to do that. So here's the summary. In this beautiful image, we see that our Good Shepherd was willing to die for us, His sheep. That our Good Shepherd cares so deeply for our physical, relational, emotional, and spiritual needs. And that our Good Shepherd knows us more personally than we ever imagined possible. Just let that settle in for a moment. Let the Spirit speak to your heart today, that beautiful image. Jesus said, "I am the Good Shepherd." Won't you listen to His voice and follow Him today? He will lead you to life in all its fullness. Amen. Let's stand and pray. Lord, we're glad to know that You are the way and the truth and the life. But there's something about this "I am" statement that makes it so very personal. And I suspect that when Jesus first shared this image with those who were listening 2,000 years ago, it spoke even more personally than perhaps it does today, because they knew that agrarian culture, sheep and shepherds more than we do. But Lord, we know enough to know that this is a promise to be with us, to protect us, to care for us, to nurture us, to lead us to life. And so, Lord, May that image sink deep into our hearts today. And for those who've wondered, does God love me? Does God know my name? Does God hear my voice when I cry? Oh, may the Holy Spirit speak to your heart today and remind you that it's true. It's all true. Jesus is your good shepherd. Won't you follow him? Follow him. Trust him to lead you to life in all its abundance. And all God's people said, amen and amen. You may be seated.